Father's doing in the room right now. I just asked him, I said, Father, what are you doing right now? And he said, I'm lavishing. I'm lavishing. So great is the Father's love that he lavishes his love upon us. You know, when I think about the word lavish, you know, I think of lavish furniture or lavish, you know, luxurious, rich, you know, beautiful things. How beautiful is the love of the Father that he is pouring out over you now. How lavish is it? How exuberant is it? How luxurious is it? How rich is the Father's love that he pours out over you? Thank you, Father, for your love. We lean into your love right now. We press into your love right now. You know, I don't have an earthly father, but if I had one, or if he was here today, I don't think I'd have much to say to him when I saw him, other than just to press into him and just be close to him. God loves it when we press into him. In Luke 16:16, and I'm about to preach, and it says, what do we do when the good news of the kingdom is being preached? The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached, and we are to press it. We are to press into it. Some versions say eagerly. Some versions even say violently enter it. Wow. See, I love language because I love when we pull apart language, we can see that there's multiple meanings to words and there's different contexts to use words in. And I love that because as I was looking into enter violently into the kingdom, I said, God, what do you mean violently? And I looked up synonyms to the word violent, and there's two. One of them means physical violence, and then it moves on to a different type of violent. And it started to bring all these other synonyms, and some of them were intensity, some of them were wildness, some of them were unbridled passion. And I love how God uses language as a vehicle, that language is no inhibitor to God. He can speak to any language. He can speak to somebody who has no language. He can speak to someone who's speech impaired. We brought our neighbor to church last week and tears were streaming down her face. She's over 80 years old, and I spoke to her in the foyer afterwards, and she said, I couldn't see, I couldn't hear. She couldn't see the words on the screen. She couldn't hear what was being said. But she said, I don't know, I am crying. Something is happening in my heart. I can't explain it. God transcends languages, he translates. We cannot limit God. When we open the word, don't be limited to just the version that you're reading or just the words that are on your page. Ask God, open this up more. Show me more about this word. Show me about the original language maybe that this was written in and what it means and what this can mean to me in my current context. God uses that language as a vehicle. We are to enter the kingdom with violent intensity, wild, unbridled passion. And so this morning, as I bring the word of God to you, would you press in? Would you presseth in? Am I okay to use some old language as well? Bring out some old King James as well. Let's presseth into the word this morning and let's see what the gospel of the kingdom wants to bring to you this morning, because he's rich and because I know he's good and I know he's going to pour out his abundance. Thank you, Lord. We receive from you this morning. Whatever you want to do, I just give you this space. I give you this place. God, this is your house. We are here to glorify you. The same reason that your Holy Spirit is present in this room this morning to glorify the Son, so we and so I standing up here today just want to glorify you. And so, Lord, let your glory fill the earth. In Jesus' name, Amen. You can take your seats. How can there be a bride if there isn't a bridegroom? How can there be a kingdom if there isn't a king? How can there be a savior if there isn't a remnant? How can there be a Holy Spirit if there wasn't a Jesus? How can there be a son if there isn't a father? I believe that the Father's heart wants to minister to you this morning. I'm excited for what the Father wants to bring and what the Father wants to say this morning. Because I feel like we talk a lot about Jesus and we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, and they're the Trinity, they're all God in one. And so they all deserve to be talked about. As I said before, we're here to glorify Jesus today, and everything comes back to the cross. But what I want to talk about today, and what's going to unfold, I believe, which God showed me out of Ephesians 1, was something that he led to me in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, what was that first God referring to? Because God so loved the Son. So it could be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only God. You can fill God in really with any any of the Trinity throughout the Word, but he uses different ones at different times. So for God so loved the world was the Father. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It makes sense, doesn't it? And there's another word in John 3:16, which is another vehicle for God so loved. Love was the vehicle that brought Jesus to the earth. Love is the vehicle, and love is the vehicle that we use today to bring the gospel. Love is the vehicle, the Father's love pouring out onto us, telling them about the Son, and then having them receive that same love that we've encountered ourselves. Ephesians 1, I love because it perfectly actually enfolds the Trinity. But again, it begins with the Father. And then spilling out of there, the Father's love just spills out for the whole chapter. And it's just amazing. It's like being showered in God's love. And I love last week, as Dale kicked off this sermon, we talked about adoption, and I loved that because in Roman culture, adoption was absolutely permanent, and so they removed your birth records, never to be found again. That was it. You were with that family. Whereas now, and I have some family experience of this because my mum was actually adopted, and so her life story is amazing. But her, and I'm going to flip this for you now, so come with me on this journey. So adoption, that's the Roman culture of just, you know, it's gone. We'd never find out who your parents were again. Whereas when my mum was born in 1951, they kept the records. And then if the child wanted to find their parents later on, they could. So as a young adult, my mum went to find her mum. And coming to meet her mum was like, for her, was coming home. And so hers is a unique story. I know that all adoption stories aren't like that. They're all unique and they're all powerful. But for my mum's story, she came home to her family. And so she grew up in a family, or she was an only child, and she loved her parents, but she didn't. She always felt disconnected. And there's something, I know I'm loved by my parents, but there's something not, something missing. And so when she met her family and she came home to them, and I've met them and I've been to England, my husband's met them as well. And if you met my mum and her mum, you would know straight away that they are mother and daughter. But she felt like it was an experience of coming home. And so God showed me as I was thinking about that and thinking about my mum, that when we actually come into the love of the Father and when we're actually adopted by him, it's like coming home. It has this feeling of, this was what I was always meant to know. This is the love, and this is the security, and this is the place that I've always meant to be. I love Ephesians I was reading some commentaries about Ephesians, and that, you know, it's spoken very highly of out of all the letters. It's, people refer to it as the queen of the epistles, the quintessence of Paulism. There was all these fancy titles for Ephesians. And in lots of ways, lots of writers said that it carries the earlier letters into an even deeper truth. And it's interesting that Paul wrote Ephesians at the same time as he wrote Colossians when he was in prison. So he was actually in Roman prison at the time of writing it. And Paul actually spent 3 years with the Ephesians, or in the Ephesian church. So in many ways, Paul was, he was an apostle, but he was spending time being an apostle, apostolic, apostolic pastor in that sense. So he was with the people for 3 years, similar to what Karen and Dale are present with us now, being with the people, pastoring the people, weeping with the people, doing life with the people. So you can only imagine the heart of Paul when he's writing this letter to the Ephesian people. But then also, this word, this letter is also called a circulating letter. So it was a letter that wasn't just passed to the Ephesians church, but it was actually just passed around. It was this circulating letter that Paul obviously didn't mean to just for the Ephesian people to know, whereas some of the other letters are wrote more specifically. He wanted this word to be shared, and he wanted other people and other churches to know. I believe the reasons for these reflections in Ephesians chapter 1, and if you look and follow and read the rest of Ephesians, it begins to open up into households, it begins to open up into greater community throughout the book. And I believe the reason for that is that God wants us to start with that revelation and that love of the Father, and that that actually transcends and goes through into our households, into our communities, into the body of Christ, and all of the things that flow on from that. So we're going to read right now. I'm going to get Keith to put up the amplified version of Ephesians 1. And we're going to read it through. And I just thought the amplified kind of just opens it up even that little bit more. And then we're going to break it down a little bit more afterwards. So, Paul, an apostle, a special minister of Christ Jesus the Messiah, by the divine will, the purpose and the choice of God, to the saints, the consecrated set-apart ones at Ephesus, who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. May grace, God's unmerited favour and spiritual peace, which means peace with God and harmony, unity and undisturbedness, be yours from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May blessing, praise, laudation and eulogy be the God of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned us in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and he was his kind intent. So that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favour and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have the redemption, deliverance and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offences, shortcoming and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and generosity of his gracious favour, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence, making known to us the mystery, secret of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this: in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. He planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, both things on heaven and things on earth. Awesome. So I'm going to unpack the latter part, which is called thanksgiving and prayer, and talk about that a little more. But I want to just touch on again about that whole idea of fatherhood, that this is a place where our security comes from. And it was actually only, well, there's a few, I guess, chapters to this, but when I first got married, my dad was alive then. When I first got married, I moved in with my husband, and it was a little bit strange because you've lived with your parents your whole life, and then all of a sudden you're getting to know and live with this stranger. Not quite, but we're learning to live together. And I can remember at first going to sleep in the house and feeling, am I safe? I know it sounds really strange, but like, I'd lived in a house with my dad my whole life, and I just would go to sleep, like, just not even think, like, my dad's there, he's protecting me, like, he's right by the front door, like, nothing's going to go past him. And so I always felt so safe around my dad that I was just so relaxed, like, I'd just be like, all good, everything's okay, because dad's here. And then when I married Rob, Rob had to kind of step into that place of, like, you're secure with me, you're safe with me, you know, I love you, and this you have a life with me now. And so that was a quick transition, but it was a transition nonetheless. So that was kind of that chapter. And then down the track, we had Brady. When I was 25, we had Brady. And 3 weeks after Brady was born, my dad died of a sudden heart attack. And my dad was my best friend, and just, I'm a child of five, but we're all very, very, very close to my dad. And it was a huge shock to us, and we took a long time to kind of come out of that place of shock. But I remember feeling again that moment of, oh, gosh, like, it's like a security blanket's gone kind of thing, like, how do I recover from this? And again, God's love came in and just brought that security and brought that comfort and brought everything that I needed, so that I do feel secure, and so that I knew that I was safe and that my father was with me and all of those things. So it comes out of, I'm just giving you a bit of a backstory to kind of like the revelation of the father that I've kind of had in my journey. But then coming here and moving to Melbourne, I did a course at School of the Prophets, and I did 12 months of ministry training there, and their first thing that they get you to go through is a course called Finding Father, and it's by A.J. Jones, and it's a really powerful, powerful course where it deconstructs everything that you that is untrue that you believe about who the Father is. And it's all things that you've picked up along the way through, like, experiences that you've had with people, conversations, like, relationships within your home, all that sort of thing. And it enables you to actually separate all of those things and actually go, the Father is this. And it was the most powerful thing I've ever done, because it was like, it was almost like a beaded necklace sort of thing, and then everything just came onto a string, and it was like, oh, wow, that's really beautiful. Like, I could see it all there, but when it all came together and I guess all the bits were moved, it was like, oh, wow, this is, I can actually see it for what it is now. I can actually see the Father's love for myself, and no one can take that away. Another little revelation this week, Macy's at the playground. And we're there with a couple of Chinese families from school that we connected with in her kindergarten class. And we're all there and we're playing and we're having fun. And who knows that kids love getting dizzy? Has anyone ever pushed a kid around and they think it's the best thing ever? And put your hand up if you're an adult and you love getting dizzy. I can see one hand, one child in the room. Okay, kids love to put adults on dizzy things and push them around and watch them and see how it is not fun. But anyway, so there's this Chinese lady and Macy and this little girl from class, and she's like, you go on to the mum, and she's like, okay, and so she goes on there and she's going round and round, and I can just see she's not enjoying this, so I'm stopping the thing going, okay, Macy, I think that's enough, like, let's huff her off. And she comes off and she goes, oh, she's like, Macy goes, did you have fun? And she goes, no, I didn't. And she said, I think it's because I'm not a kid. And Macy goes, yes, you are. You're God's kid. That sort of led to a conversation about talking to this lady about how she's God's kid, which is a really, really beautiful. But the reality is we are always God's kid. And I love that God never expects us to kind of pull up our socks and just have it all together. He actually comes at us with the approach of the lovingness of a father. My kids often tell me, you know, if I'm trying on some clothes or some shoes or something like that, they'll often say to me, oh, don't worry, Mum, you'll grow into them. I love the sweet little innocent things they say. But then I was actually learning that trees never stop growing. And the Bible refers to us a lot as trees throughout Scripture. So in actual fact, in the kingdom, we never stop growing. And there's xylem and there's phloem, and if you've done biology, you know, there's the growing up and then there's the growing out. But the growing up happens first, and then the growing out and reaching out happens after. And so the love of the Father and learning the love of the Father when we first come to know God and when we're first adopted by Him is so important, because that's the growing up. And then we get to grow out. And that is the beautiful part. And then also, for people who are older in the room, that's a very vague term, so I can be included in that boat. It says that acceleration actually, speed of growth accelerates in the latter parts. So you actually grow more. The acceleration grows up. So all of you who feel mature, feel encouraged that we get to grow more and mature and help the other ones grow too. So, no one has ever seen God, John 1:18 tells us, except the begotten Son. So, how do we know what the Father is like? If no one's ever seen God, how do we know what the Father is like? Through the Son. Because Jesus has been with the Father. And it says in that verse that He was in the bosom of thy Father, which is like also an archaic way of saying that, you know, that you're really close with a person. Like, you know, if you've heard the term bosom buddies, bosom, being in the bosom of the Father, that's how close Jesus was to His Father. So in actual fact, by looking at Jesus, we can see the exact representation of the Father. And Jesus often said things like, I'm doing what I see the Father doing, or I'm saying what I hear the Father saying. Yeah. So then, who else can we look at? We can look at Jesus' disciples, and which one of Jesus' disciples, who when they were reclining, he lay on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples, and he lay on Jesus. And it's that same disciple, so who knows who that one was? John. And then which one of them in the New Testament wrote the most about God's love? John. Yeah. If you read 1 John, another shower of God's love. Amazing. So there's things that we can learn by looking to people. And then in the same way, we get to be that same representative. Because in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Another drawing from John, I feel. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So we get to be priests. And that could be like really scary if it was like Old Testament, like what that would mean for your life. But we in the New Testament get to be priests because we get to be representatives of the Father. And I think that's huge. I know for me, I've been Pastor Dale pretty much my whole Christian walk from when I was 16 years old. And I will openly profess and say that Dale has been the most representative of the Father in my life. In times, you know, over all of these years, looking to Dale, and in so many times, I've been able to go, that's the heart of the Father. Okay, I'm in the right direction. Or like, so we can find people in our lives who are leaning in, pressing in to the Father and going, okay, yes, I'm walking with the Father. I'm doing what I'm seeing the Father doing because that gauge is love. So what do we need to understand from there? Well, there's more. It talks about in that thanksgiving towards the end, it talks about enlightenment. And I'll open up my version to just read it properly. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. So if you're writing notes, then I'd like you to write down hope, riches, power. And you might have heard in the world another three words, dare I say them, something, money, power. But the three things that is opened up here in Scripture, which I love, is hope, money, power. Hope, riches, power. So I've said that to you so that you remember it. So hope, riches, power are the things that God has called us to be enlightened and have our spiritual eyes opened to be able to understand and see. So what are these things? Hope? Hope to which he's called you. Well, what has he called us? He's called us to himself. So the hope that we have and the hope that we get to fall back on when everything just falls apart, which we have those moments in life, and sometimes it feels like they kind of clash and you're having a really great day that's on top of the world. That was me this week. And then the next day is like everything's crashing down. But we have a hope. We get to have a hope, which is the anchor of our souls. We get to have a hope in Jesus and know that he's called us. And so in those moments where everything's falling apart, I remind myself, I have a hope. I have Jesus. I'm actually okay. Like if everything's taken away, I'm actually okay. We can look to Job for that. We're actually okay. And then we have a glorious inheritance. Well, that keeps our eyes on the right thing, doesn't it? Because when we look at riches and we think about riches, yes, the riches of this world can send us in a spiral of chasing after all different things, but the riches of heaven grounds us. The riches of heaven doesn't cause us chasing. The riches of heaven causes us to bring us to our knees and go, Father, this is where I find everything that I need. And so how good is that? The riches, in heaven, but also the riches of what we get to know now and experience of God. Heavenly riches, spiritual blessings, as Dale was saying, is so much more powerful and more important than earthly riches. And then the last one, his great power. So as we begin to know and understand the love of the Father, and as he begins to enlighten us or open our spiritual eyes and show us more through the scriptures and reveal more to us, we actually become more confident of his power because we begin to experience his power. We actually begin to experience it in our own lives. So I can give you a testimony of that right now. So 10 days ago, I received a call from the doctor. We know when you receive a call from the doctor, that's kind of a little bit alarming in your day. Hello. And here he is on the other end of the line. And I decided to do a full health check because I hadn't been to the doctors in 12 months because of COVID. So I did a full health check. And here I had the doctor on the end of the line saying, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I've got a diagnosis for you. You're going to have to go and see the specialist. You need to come into my office. We need to sort this out straight away, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I go into the doctor's office, and he tells me that I have this diagnosis. But I said, I've got no symptoms. And he said, wow, that's amazing, because what this is is often very debilitating, very lethargic, no energy, tired, fatigue, all these things, a myriad of other symptoms. And I said, but I don't have any of those symptoms. And he said to me, well, there was obviously a reason that you took these tests, because you need to have this treated. And I said, okay, what do we need to do? And so I went and saw the specialist and, you've got to have this treatment, and it's going to really impede on your life for the next 10 days. You're going to have, and it says at the top of the page, it says, most people will have, it wasn't even a small percentage of, it was most people will have blah, 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 all these symptoms. And I'm going, okay, it's school holidays. Probably the better time to do it, because at least I don't have to take the kids to school, so we'll just roll with it. So I took this treatment, taking all these pills and going, oh my goodness, what's this doing to my body? And I'm taking all this natural stuff at the same time to try and counteract. Anyway, I've still got no symptoms. So I've told the doctor, I don't know, but supernatural things happen. The power of God happens when he's enlightening us and opening our spiritual eyes to see, hey, yes, you have a problem, but God opens your eyes and goes, yes, but like this is going to be your experience, or this is what you were to stand on, or this is the scripture that you're to declare, or yes, this might be happening in that relationship, but this is what I'm declaring you to do, or what have you. So the power of God is what we get to experience through enlightenment, through having a revelation of the Father's love. So I'm going to get Keith to put up a picture on the screen right now, and I just really feel to minister out of this picture as we close. And I'm going to get the team to come as well. Because for some of us, maybe even for you, you know, I'd been walking with God for 10 years before I did this course, Finding Father, and it just totally just strung everything together. Maybe for you, maybe you've never looked at specifically the Father's love for you. Maybe you've got some barriers and some things, like I did, that I had to actually remove and put aside. Some of my experiences, some of the things that, you know, the Bible tells us that God is misrepresented on the earth. Not every experience or every encounter that we have with people or with people in church or out of church is going to be an accurate representative of the Father. But it is important for us to come back to truth and to string the beads together and to actually go, okay, this is my truth. A great prophet said to me once that if the truth isn't setting you free, then it's not the truth. If the truth isn't setting you free, then it's not the truth. And it's interesting that Jesus referred to his Father as Father, but also he referred to the Father of lies. That's how he referred to the devil, as the Father of lies. And when my father passed away, a clairvoyant came to somebody in my family and they told me a lie from Scripture. The enemy came through a clairvoyant to a person in my family after my dad had died, and he brought a scripture and he twisted it and he said something. And I knew, it was then and there that I knew, you're trying to father me right now. You're trying to speak truth to me. You're trying to come in right now and bring disorder in my life when God's coming to bring order, and God's coming to ground me, and God's coming to secure me, and God's coming to comfort me. And so casted that out in Jesus' name and stood on the truth. And the enemy came at Jesus with scriptures as well, So we have to be careful because we need to look for truth. We need to look harder than just even words on a page. We need to experience, we need to ask God to show us the riches of his love and show us his power and show us his glory. Show us the hope which he's called us to. There's not just one baptism. The Bible speaks of radical encounters. You look at the disciples' lives, they were not normal lives. It speaks of empowerment, it speaks of visions, it speaks of dreams, it speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit being poured out, it speaks of fruit being developed, people being transported or translated or caught up in the third heaven and things like that happening. And I'm not saying, and this is a journey as well that we went on through School of the Prophets, is that we should not ever desire the manifestations of the Spirit. We are to desire God himself. We are to desire intimacy with the Father and just simply being with him. Jesus withdrew from crowds just to be with him, not to have spiritual manifestations and not for anything specific to happen, just to be with his Father, just to be in the bosom of his Father, be close with his Father and know that closeness. So that is what we are to desire. Yes, some people see greater manifestations, but we all get to experience the power and the love of the Father and the intimacy that is available to all of us. And we will all inherit in his glory. And what he shows you, even in the Spirit, is only for what is useful for you to do. I'm always reminded of that. When God shows me something or I receive a radical encounter, I'm always reminded, God, this is, you're only showing me this because it's useful for me. I'm not God. I don't need to see everything. I don't need to know all the realms and everything that's going on. But if you're showing me this, there's a reason for it. So I'll pray. So I'll get on my knees. So I'll do what God asked me to do with it. You can close your eyes or you can look at the picture on the screen, whichever you prefer to do. I love that picture because it's got encapsulates the smallness, even though you can't with God. But I'm going to read just a few things, scriptures of the Father's love, in case you've never heard this before. So you can close your eyes, you can look at that, meditate on that picture on the screen. So the love of the Father is rich. It's always enough. It lavishes upon you in a great measure. The Father wants to reward you and honor you and bless you. He wants to provide for you. No one can snatch you from his hand. You are secure in the Father's love. He exists within you or insists within you. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. In other words, the love of the world and the love of the Father in you cannot coexist together. Loving the Father will cause you to obey his commands. That love of the Father will cause you to obey him. Out of love, you will obey him. That you will not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The pleasure of the kingdom is something that you will experience. That you will know that you are inside of the Father's care. Not even a sparrow will fall to the ground outside of the Father's care, but even the hairs on your head are numbered. Now, I'm a nurse and I can't even go to the toilet sometimes without thinking what's going to happen when they're not under my care. But God, you are always under God's care to the point where he knows. I've always known what drips are running and what drugs have been had and what's going on with that patient. But I don't know the number of hairs on their head. I haven't counted them, but God has. That you will come to Jesus through the Father. That Jesus is the way to the Father. So you are going to be reunited with your Father. that you will be protected, because Jesus said, I can call on my Father and he can bring a myriad of angels. You will be feel protected in situations because of the presence of your Father. And you will manifest as a son or a daughter. For in Romans 8:19 it says, for creation waits eagerly for the manifestation of sons of God. And this is the times that we're in. Sons and daughters are going to be manifested and know their sonship and their daughtership and their authority in God. He disciplines you out of love. Great example of this, I'm at the shopping center the other day and I had Macy right by the car door and I was about to put her into the car, but there was a moment of teachability and vulnerability. And so I'm on my knees with her in the car park on the road and I've got my face right in hers and we're having a moment and we're talking and I'm loving on her and I'm kissing her and I was actually disciplining her. But somebody came over to me and said, never stop loving your children like that. Oh, never stop loving your children like that. And he was probably in his 50s or 60s, said, my children are in Europe and I'd be desperate to be into their face like that right now. He said, just always love your children like that. And I wanted to turn around and say, I'm actually telling her off. But I didn't. Because the Father disciplines out of love. And when me and Rob discipline our children, we discipline them with our faces right to us and we kiss them and we love them and we cry with them and we hug them and we pour out God's grace to them and we embrace them in those moments. And some of those moments, disciplining my children, are actually my favourite thing to do, because when you do it in love, it's actually a beautiful, sweet experience. And I love that God has that same, that he disciplines those he loves and he disciplines us out of love. The Father's house has many rooms. My final point. There's room for you. He'll never turn you away. He's always got time for you. That's something that I had to put down, because I don't know that any father is fully present and always available for their children at any time. That would be almost impractical. But the Father is always, always available for you. He never turns you away. He is attentive to your every single prayer and every single whisper and murmur that goes on in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for the way that you've come and you've revealed yourself to us in greater measure this morning, as you always do through the scriptures. And Lord, I just pray as we sing and as we worship with the team right now, that Lord, we would just step into those moments of experiencing the hope, experiencing the riches, experiencing the power, and knowing the power, being sure of those things because of your love. We thank you for the vehicle of this song, Lord. What a beautiful song, God. We get to sing about the Father and your heart. We bless you today in Jesus' name.